Welcome back to the show. Our thanks to Larry Lucchino for joining us. And I'm Joe Schmo Mike Grace. To my left is one Cy Young Award and Randy Jones. And to his left is four Cy Young Awards, Hall of Famer Greg Maddux. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Good to have you here, Greg.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
This is the most Cy Youngs we've had on this couch.
All right.
I want you to know that.
I don't know if that record is going to be beat.
I think we might be safe.
I don't think so. 23 years of your career, spent part of the last two here in San Diego. What are your impressions? What do you remember, hopefully fondly, about San Diego and your time here?
I loved it. I mean, it was my favorite place to play. I always wanted to play here. You know, I know the first time I was a free agent in the early 90s, you know, the first phone call I made was to San Diego. So, you know, I live in Vegas, and, you know, this was always the best place to come in the league.
Nice. Obviously, the year you go into the Hall of Fame, it's just going to be a whirlwind. What's the year been like since you got the call and then leading up into the induction and everything that's happened since?
You know, it's been fun. It's, you know, it was a little nerve-wracking kind of leading up to it and everything, but once you were there and around all the other Hall of Famers, it was a very special time. And, you know, I watched half of those guys as kids growing up, and, you know, I was a huge Reds fan growing up, so... you know, when I first walked into the restaurant the first night, you know, I got a chance to see Johnny Bench, Tony Perez, and it was very special. Tom Seaver was also there as well. So
wow.
It was pretty special for me.
That is special, though. I don't know if you even thought about it before you got there. But all of a sudden, all the Hall of Famers there. And like you say, you're going maybe back a decade. You know, when mm-hmm. you were watching them as a kid, you watched a lot of them play baseball. And now you're just kind of sitting around with them.
Yeah,
that'll make you appreciate what's going on.
Yeah, it was very special for me. Very special because, you know, growing up, my dad only took us to Reds games. We weren't allowed to go see, you know, the other teams play. It's just the Reds.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really
neat. That's great stuff.
And obviously, even more significant to be able to go into the Hall with Tom Glavin and your longtime manager, Bobby Cox. You know, just talk about that experience and what that meant to you.
Very special. You know, I had teammates there, so it was cool because you know, you're not sure what to expect, and you know, I was very privileged to be able to share that experience with Glav and Bobby, and I haven't played for Joe Torre, and he got in too as well. So you know, other than Frank and Tony were the only two that, you know, I was always battling against, and it was nice to have friends and teammates there. It really was pretty special.
Has it changed your itinerary now that you're in the Hall of Fame? A lot of times, you know, Hall of Famers, you do a lot of appearances and a lot of different things. Have you found your schedule changing quite a bit?
You know what? I'm pretty simple. I keep things pretty simple. I know my phone rings a lot more. I get more calls, but it's actually going out and doing stuff. I'm pretty, you know, I kind of keep my time.
Yeah. But if I had a golf tournament and invited you to play, that might work.
Where's it at?
You get to come to San Diego.
Oh, that's great. Well,
that's
you got to come to San Diego. That's
yeah.
it.
I love coming down here. I mean, we've got a place up in Dana Point up the road, and, you know, this is a special place for us.
Oh, that's great.
Talking to Hall of Famer Greg Maddux here, one thing about your Hall of Fame speech, obviously mentioned Buddy Black, but you also mentioned Darren Balsley, and that mm-hmm. even at the end of your career, you still were able to improve your changeup and some of the things that you had worked on with him. I found that really interesting.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, as long as you're wearing the uniform out there, you're always trying to get better, and you never learn everything in this game.
Right.
I think that's the one thing that that really keeps you going is there's always room for improvement no matter what you know. It's not what you've done; it's what you're going to do in your next start. And you know, I still remember. You know, he told me to try to finish closer to my left knee when on my changeup, and it worked. And that's something I've passed down to the kids, you know, at the high schools that are around here now.
That's just outstanding. And a lot of time you find yourself getting an opportunity to give back to some of the kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you have an opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's great.
You know, I know my son's playing high school ball, and, you know, I get a chance to talk to, you know, there's about seven or eight pitchers on that team that they're getting Darren Balsley tips, and I don't even think they know who Darren Balsley is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's nice. Curious about your progression as a pitcher, and obviously with Randy here too, it's interesting, and, you know, never threw really hard, but moving the ball around in your hand, different grips, seeing how the ball moved. How did that progression grow for you as a young pitcher and figuring out how to, one, locate the ball so well, but also to get the ball to move as much as you did?
Well, I was very fortunate. You know, my first pitching coach was probably my best pitching coach. I don't know how many people can actually say that. And you know, when I was 15, 16 years old, I was taught that movement was more important than velocity. I was told that, you know, you throw hard enough, you're going to get drafted. But in order to have success against better hitters, movement is going to help you more than velocity. And he kind of changed my arm angle a little bit. You know, stop throwing the four seamer, started throwing the two seamer. And I'm glad I bought into it when I was 16 because, you know, I wanted to throw hard.
Man, that's impressive for a right-hander. You know, you don't hear that very often.
Well, you know, it was just what he taught. And, you know, he had my brother. He had Mike Morgan. There was a couple guys in front of me in Vegas that he had helped. And I was lucky enough to have worked with him.
You know, it was incredible, Greg. And watching all the years, you know, watching your pitch, it was how you duplicated your mechanics. Your mechanics never really deviated. Now maybe the arm angle would change slightly. But as far as the mechanics themselves, your mechanics never really changed.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. Yeah. I didn't have to mess around too much with my mechanics, you know. Mostly just worried about my alignment, you know, and tried to be athletic and never worried a whole lot about, you know, picking your foot up, you know, left hand high, all that stuff. You know, it was pretty much, you know, you want to throw it right there. Yeah. So you better look there, step there, and finish it there.
You know, basically, you know, like, you know, me, it was just, hey, my front foot would land, and I'd release the pitch, and it was all predicated on that. And there might be a slight adjustment, but I could always feel it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe my arm was a little bit slow. I'd speed the arm just a smidgen and get it back in that right slot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And speaking of your mechanics, and it's probably even more important now, one of the most astounding things about your career, 23 years and no real arm injuries. And when you see the epidemic of Tommy John surgeries going on now, it's just amazing to see what you were able to do. Is that just a God-given natural ability that you had a rubber arm and could make it work? Or was it a process to taking care of your arm and how you pitched it to stay healthy that long?
Well, I think obviously there was a lot of luck involved. You know, I mean, I did take care of my shoulder and my elbow. You know, I did all the shoulder exercises I was supposed to do. I had a very good workout guy in Vegas that I used his stuff. You know, I met him when I was 18 years old. And I think what Randy said was I never really changed my mechanics. And I think when you don't change your mechanics, your arm will figure out a way to help protect itself. It's when you keep changing around left and right, I think that's when you're more likely to
and I think problems. At our point in time and in yours, you know, you threw what you threw. It was 90. It was 91, 91. Yeah. So if it was 89, so be it. And I think maybe today, a lot of times, a lot of kids they probably should be throwing 89, 91, and they're trying to throw 95, 96. And, you know, I think a lot of times that's where a lot of these injuries will take over. You're trying to overthrow the baseball.
I didn't throw 100, but I tried to at times.
Yeah.
but it just wasn't that fast.
It looked fast for the mound, didn't it?
I think the one thing that maybe that we did that the kids today don't do is I think we take time off.
Right.
You know, I think
in the off season.
I think a lot of the high school kids now that are playing, I think they're playing year round, and back when I'm assuming when we were growing up that, you know, we played the other sports as well, and you know we played baseball three or four months a year, not, you know,
good
10
call.
Or 12.
That's
I think
right.
That has a lot to do with it, too.
Really, really interesting stuff. One last question. Was there anything from your Hall of Fame weekend that just really stood out? You mentioned seeing your heroes from the Reds. Is there any just one memory that is going to stick with you about that whole experience?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think after the induction at the hotel there, there's a big balcony with rocking chairs. And Johnny Bench made me sit down in the rocking chair and reflect back on my career. And Tom Seaver brought me a glass of wine.
Wow.
And, you know, to have Johnny Bench and Tom Seaver bringing you a glass of wine and, you know, looking out over at the lake and just seeing those guys and the non-egos that were there, it was incredible. I mean, I'm positive the egos are bigger in these two clubhouses here today than they were in that room that weekend.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Really, really amazing stuff with Greg Maddux here. Thank you so much for stopping by. Congratulations on
Thank
the induction,
you.
all of your success. We're all very proud of you for the couple years you spent as a Padres member.
Yeah.
So really good stuff.
Well,
thank you so much.
I was glad I got a chance to play here because this place is
good
cool.
Good stuff.
Really
thank
good.
You. All right. Really
thank
great.
You.
Stay up to date with your Padres by following FriarWire, the official blog of the San Diego Padres. FriarWire is your source for the latest news, notes, and fun surrounding your Padres. Check it out today at padres.com/FriarWire. One more segment right after this.